I know you don't remember last Palm Sunday's sermon, but it was about the triumphal entry. And we are going to look at the triumphal entry today, but we're going to look at it from a different view. So turn with me to Luke chapter 19. The sermon title about the triumphal entry is titled, The Need. So if we go to Luke chapter 19, it's in three of the Gospels, but we'll pick it up here in Luke. So Luke chapter 19, verse 28. Luke chapter 19 and verse 28, and we're going to read verses 28 through 44, and there's going to be times that we're going to leave this portion of Scripture, but we're going to come back to it. So if you want to save your place, you're more than welcome to do so. So in Luke chapter 19 and verse 28, it says, when he had said this, he went on ahead going to Jerusalem. And it came to pass, when he had drew near to Bethphage and Bethany at a mountain called Olivet, and he said to his disciples, saying, go into the village opposite you. Where are you enter in, you will find a colt tied on, which no one has ever sat. Loose it and bring it here. And if anyone ask you, why are you loosing it? Thus you shall say to him, because the Lord has need of it. So those who were sent went their way, found it just as he said to them. But as they were loosing the colt, the owners of it said to them, why are you loosening the colt? And they said, the Lord has need of him. And when they brought him to Jesus, and they threw their own clothes on the colt, and they set Jesus on him, and as he went, many spread their clothes on the road. Then as he was now drawing near to the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen, saying, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd, teacher, rebuke your disciples. And he answered and said to them, I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out. Now as he drew near, he saw the city and he wept over it, saying, if you had known, even you, especially in this your day, the things that made for you peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes, for days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you, surrounded you, and close you in on every side, and level you and your children within you to the ground, and they will not leave you in you one stone upon another, because you did not know the time of your visitation. Last year when I spoke on the triumphal entry, the focus was the prophetic fulfillment of Christ the Messiah from Zechariah. So I'd like us to go back to Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 9 just for a moment this morning. So Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 9. So in Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 9, it says this, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just in having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. 500 years before the triumphal entry, Zechariah had wrote this, and he had prophesied that the king would come riding a colt. But notice the wording. It says, your king comes to you, righteous and having what? Having salvation. So when you look at verse 9 again, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion, shout, O daughter of Jerusalem, behold your king. And the Israel people stopped listening at that point. That's what they were focused on, was the king. This king that was going to raise them back up into prominence and raise them back up into power. That his government shall be upon his shoulder and there shall be no end. We see that in the book of Isaiah, that is prophesied in the book of Isaiah, but we also know in our hearts today that that is the return of Jesus during the millennial reign. that he will rule as a righteous judge at that point in time. Jesus now was coming as what? A savior. And they did not want that. We see here in verse 9, O daughter of Zion, shout, O daughter of Jerusalem, behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation. The people would skip over the salvation part and cling to the king part. Let's look at Mark's telling of the triumphal entry in Mark chapter 11. So turn with me to Mark chapter 11. In Mark chapter 11 and verse 8, Mark chapter 11 and verse 8, and we're going to read verses 8 through 10. So Mark chapter 11, get there myself, verse 8, and it says, and many spread their clothes on the road, and others cut down leafy branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then those who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. In verse 10, it says, the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest. The word literally means, as it was in your bulletin and as Michelle spoke about today, it really basically literally means save us. The Jews knew the prophecy that they were awaiting the king. They were awaiting this day to happen. But not a king for their souls, but a king that would raise the nation of Israel to a place of prominence and to also power. Now let's turn back to Luke chapter 19. So in Luke chapter 19, verse 37. In Luke chapter 19 and verse 37, because sometimes we stop reading a little bit too soon, but in verse 37 it says, then as he was drawing near to the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. So many of these same people that here today are shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna, save us, will soon be the same people that will be shouting, crucify him, crucify him. So if you look at Luke chapter 23, verse 18. In Luke chapter 23, in verse 18, it says, and they all cried out at once, saying, away with this man and release to us Barabbas, who has been thrown into prison for a certain rebellion made in the city and for murder. And Pilate, therefore wishing to release Jesus, again cried out to them, but they shouted, saying, crucify him, crucify him. If we read on in Luke chapter 19, we see that Jesus prophesies to the people. So he is a fulfillment of prophecy on the triumphal entry, but he's also prophesying to the people of something that's going to take place. Because why? Because they did not receive him. So if you go back to Luke 19 and verse 41, Luke chapter 19 and verse 41, in verse 41, it says, now as he drew near, he saw the city and he wept over it, saying, if you had known, even you, especially in your day, the things that made for your peace, now they are hidden from your eyes. For days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you, surround you, and close you in on every side, and level you and your children within you to the ground, and they will not leave in you one stone upon another, because you did not know the time of your visitation. In verse 41, it tells us that they rejected Christ, and they were rejecting his salvation. In verse 43 and verse 44, in 70 AD, the temple would be destroyed, not one stone left standing on another. During that time, hundreds of thousands of Jews were killed. At the triumphal entry, the people wanted a king. They didn't want a savior. In 2,000 years, has anything really changed? And the answer is no. People today want the things that God can give them, but they don't want God. Who doesn't want to be blessed by God? If you went out, every one of us went out Monday and did our own survey, and we asked 10 people, do you want God to bless your life? You got a tickle. I'm sure that most of them would say, yes, I want God to bless my life. But if you tell those same 10 people then that they needed to receive Christ, and those blessings will be through their accepting Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, those many of those same 10 people, if not all of those same 10 people, would say, no thanks. No thanks. In Luke 19:10, if you look at Luke 19 and verse 10, it says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus came to the world to save the world. The blessing in your life, the blessings in your family, the blessings for a nation flow out of salvation. That's the only way that they flow. Your life is being blessed today because you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Your family is being blessed today because that blessing flows through that salvation in your life, in your family. Because until you know Jesus, you cannot know God. You can't have it any other way. So people can say, I know God, but I've never accepted Jesus. Well, then you do not know God. Because if you do not know the Son, you do not know the Father. Because the only way you can know the Father is by knowing the Son. The only way I'm going to be blessed from my Heavenly Father is through my faith that I have in His Sons. Our blessings flow through our salvation experience. In John chapter 1 and verse 12, in John chapter 1 and verse 12, it says, but as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in His name. You can't be a child unless you know Jesus. You can't be a child of the Heavenly Father unless you know Jesus. He gave us the right to become the children of God. All blessings flow out of our relationship with God through Jesus Christ. The announcement to the nation of Israel on the triumphal entry is salvation had come, accept Jesus, and your nation will be blessed. That's why He gave them that prophetic warning. Salvation has come to your nation and you're rejecting it. You're rejecting what God has offered you, and that is Me as your Messiah. And because you reject Me as your Messiah, your temple is going to be destroyed. You as a people will suffer the consequences. In John chapter 16, verse 7, John 16 and verse 7, in John 16 and verse 7, it says this, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you, but if I depart, I will send Him to you. In verse 8 of John 16, and when He has come, He will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, of sin because they do not believe in Me. Of righteousness because I go to My Father and you see Me no more. Of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth, for He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come. He will glorify Me, for He will take of what is Mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are Mine. Therefore, I said that He will take of Mine and declare it unto you. The Holy Spirit's number one goal in the world today is to convict people of the sin of not knowing Jesus. It's amazing It's so simple, it's amazing. When you look at the scripture here in verse 9 of sin because they do not believe in me, the very first thing, the very number one priority, the priority of the United States government is to promote the gospel of Jesus Christ till every member or every person of our populace would accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and it would turn this world upside down. That's what he was telling the nation of Israel. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your chance to bring Israel back into prominence. But they did not want to accept Jesus. They just wanted the authority of having the prominence. Well, people today want the blessings of God, but they reject Jesus and they don't want to accept him as Lord and Savior. It's an amazing thing. It's amazing because it is so simple. Here a couple weeks ago, I was given a book, and it's called The Tramp Preacher. In fact, he's buried at William Penn College off to the right and kind of back to the back. There's a cemetery back there, and when you go back, his name is Elijah. I can't think of his Elijah Temple. And on it, on his tombstone, it just says The Tramp Preacher. And he traveled all over the world. He traveled all over the United States, I should say, taking the gospel wherever that he went, and that's all he did for his whole entire life. One of the things that he said in his book was this, that any community that was going to be sustained and was going to grow and was going to prosper, it was because of the believers in that community. You see, we don't see that we, or we don't think that we have any impact on society, but you have a huge impact on society. The Holy Spirit's number one goal in the world today is to connect or convict people of the sin of not knowing Jesus. Recognizing your need for God is not natural, it is supernatural. I want to say that again, because it impacts every one of your lives. Recognizing your need for God is not natural. It is supernatural. The world will not recognize Jesus because they will not listen to the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. If you listen to the convicting power of the Holy Spirit and you were drawn to Jesus to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, there was something supernatural that happened in your life. If you turn to John chapter 6, verse 44, it shows you why. John chapter 6, verse 44. In John chapter 6, in verse 44, it says, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. And I will raise him up the last day." That drawing is the conviction of the Holy Spirit, of recognizing that need in our life. To recognize that need is one of the most important things in your life, to be drawn to the power, through the power of the Holy Spirit, to accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I think that sometimes it can be a challenge in second and third generational families, because grandpa and grandma went to church, mom and dad went to church, mom and dad knew Jesus, grandpa and grandma knew Jesus, and what do they know? All they know is that they've been raised in the church. Sometimes it's hard for them to recognize that need. But what does the scripture say? For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Everyone. Doesn't mean just because you're raised in a Christian family, you don't need to accept Jesus. You need to accept Jesus just like Pastor Leo did. And when God saved me, he reached down. I was a long way in the mud. But you need that salvation just as much as I needed that salvation. You need that salvation as much as anyone else needs that salvation. You need that salvation in your life as much as the Apostle Paul needed salvation in his life. And for that to take place, there must be a supernatural quickening of the Spirit in your life to draw you to him. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. In Matthew 16, in verse 13, Matthew 16, verse 13, It says, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Inescapable question, isn't it? Holy Spirit, ask us all, who is Jesus to you? What is Jesus to you? And how do you respond? So they said in verse 14, some said John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. But he said to them, but who do you say that I am? That's what's important. Who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, you art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. Now listen, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you. It is a supernatural thing when you're drawn by the power of the Holy Spirit to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, because everybody else in the world is operating through human wisdom. A person that is spirit-led is operating through supernatural wisdom that is given to us by God. He goes on to say that flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I will say to you that to Peter, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. For you who know Christ, you have had a supernatural event that has taken place in your life. The Holy Spirit has revealed the need of Christ to your heart, and you received him as Lord and Savior. There is no greater miracle than what took place in your life. There is no greater miracle. Through your salvation flows eternal life. Through your salvation flows joy. Through your salvation flows peace. Through your salvation flows love. Because all blessings flow from God, and the only way that they come from God into your life is by knowing Jesus. When you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you open your life up for every blessing that God has got for you and for me. Every one of them is open to you, because God, through his blessing, is going to bless you because you've received his Son. Only a miracle could make that happen. In the triumphal entry, Jesus was telling the people, you want to be blessed? You want your nation to be blessed? Then accept me. Blessings flow through your salvation. I know I've repeated that several times. We've heard it said in our nation, for the people, by the people. But let me tell you in another way, it should be for the saints of God, by the saints of God. That's what drives this nation, is the saints of God. God's blessings flow through them to a nation. That's what he was trying to get the nation of Israel to connect with. But they didn't. Yes, we can change a nation one person at a time, and it starts with you. Is something supernatural happening in your life today? If you haven't accepted Jesus and you feel the drawing of the Holy Spirit, then something supernatural is taking place in your life. It happened in my life, and it happened to everybody's life here today that knows Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Say with me, I am a miracle.
I am a miracle.
Yes, because something supernatural happened in your life.
Amen.
We should say, if I need to be healed, then I step up to be healed. If I need to be delivered, I need to step up and be delivered. Why? It's because I'm already a walking miracle. That's just another miracle that God is going to do in my life. And that blessing is going to flow through my salvation, through my relationship that I have with my Heavenly Father. Because it is a miracle that we are saved. Let's pray. Father, we come before you today in the name of the Lord Jesus. And Father, maybe there's just one here today that has not made that decision, but they feel the quickening in their heart of the presence of the Holy Spirit. If I step out of my prayer just for a minute, brethren, I would say to you, if you feel that quickening in your heart and in your life today, then the Holy Spirit is drawing you to him, and he's trying to draw you into a relationship with him, and he's wanting to have a miracle in your life. Father, I ask that you would sweep over this place. And we can say, well, there's probably 95, 98% of the people that are here today that already know Jesus. That miracle's already taken place in their life, and we praise you forevermore, Father. But maybe there's just one that hasn't. And this is their opportunity. And I pray that you would speak to their heart and draw them to you. That same miracle that happened in my life, I want it to happen in their life. And I ask it in Jesus' name. And while every eye is closed and every head is bowed, I want to tell you something that I used to have a minister tell me. Because for many, I held out from that miracle. I withstood that conviction. I wasn't listening. I didn't want to listen because I knew it would bring change in my life. So every time I felt the convicting power of the Holy Spirit, I would just ignore it. And a preacher stood up there one day and he says, "The Spirit of God will not always strive with you." And then all of a sudden, Pastor Leo got scared that someday I wouldn't feel that convicting power of the Holy Spirit. You see, Jesus wants to do that miracle in your life. God wants to perform that miracle in your life of salvation, but the only way that it takes place is by you believing in your heart and confessing with your mouth. Then you shall be saved. Is there one here today by the signifying of the upraised hand? Pastor Leo, I want you to pray for me. I feel the drawing of the Holy Spirit, and I want to respond to it today. Would there be one today? Would there be one today? No worries. We're all good. We leave this place, tragedy happens, but we're good. We know we're going to go to heaven because we know Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Everyone is saying in this room today, that miracle has already taken place in my life. I'm being blessed from my Heavenly Father through my salvation. Would there be one today? Father, we praise you for this day. May this be a glorious week for all of us as we start this week with Palm Sunday. We look forward to the time that we can be back on Friday for Good Friday services, and I pray that everyone will come out and everyone will bring somebody with them. And I pray also for Sunday morning, resurrection morning, that we would bring somebody with us. Be with us as we go our separate ways, and may your hand be upon each and every one of our lives, and we ask it all today. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone said, amen, amen, and you are dismissed.